All right, man. I almost forgot what our topic was today. In fact, that's a nice little segue to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to forget. They're going to forget right after they listen to this, because right? Memory is declining rapidly. We hear all this talk about focus declining, and that's true. And that's also why memory is declining. But more and more data is coming out showing that people's memories are getting worse. Now, it's multifaceted. It's definitely nutrition related. It's definitely too much sedentary behavior, because you have to exercise to get blood flow to your brain. Those are all important things. But I think the most egregious reason for why memory is declining is the fact that you can't remember something if you're not present. I mean, if you go to a concert and you're looking at your phone the whole fucking time, why would you remember that concert? You didn't even look up once. Or the only time you looked up was to record something and post it. So of course you're not going to remember it. I mean, I've been to probably well over 100 concerts the whole time I lived in Vegas. I can remember every single one of them. Any yeah. single one of these concerts. I mean, I might not remember the whole thing, every single thing, but I remember each thing. I remember something about each of those concerts.
Right.
Why? Because I'm present. When I'm at a concert, I'm at a concert. I'm watching the music. I'm watching the band. I'm checking in. I'm taking in the whole experience. Not looking at my phone, not recording stuff to post on Instagram. I'm not messaging with people. I'm not checking my email to see how my business is doing. No, I'm at a concert. So the more experiences you have where you're present, the more you're going to remember. And why is memory important? I mean, think about who you are if you don't remember anything. I've been all over the world. So what if I didn't remember anything?
This gives a whole new meaning. Hey, Mike, remember who the fuck you are.
And I've always actually had a really good memory. I remember as a kid, I could just memorize all these stats of baseball cards and recall it. My grandfather liked going to, like, grabbing a random baseball card and saying, hey, how many home runs did George Foster hit in 1978? And I would say 52, just like that. He was always blown away by that, because when you actually engage in behaviors that you actually find interesting, you remember those things. That's why sometimes they go, yeah, this kid has got a learning disability. No, he doesn't have a learning disability. You're just
You have a teaching disability.
Yeah. You're boring.
I had to tell a teacher that when my daughter's in school, because she was saying, she's not doing well in math. She's just not getting us. I said, oh, no. I said, she's not the problem. It's you. There's no learning disability here. You have a teaching disability. And that lady looked at me like I had a baby growing out of my forehead. I said, do you understand? I said, don't get upset, because you have 30 students in here, and I get it. How are you going to cater to the teaching style, the learning styles of 30 different people at the exact same time? It's impossible.
I get that.
But don't just dismiss when a few of them don't cling on to your style of teaching. Don't think so much of yourself that you don't feel like you're a part of the issue as well. Because you are. I said, but it's just a micro part of the whole thing. The whole macro part of it, this whole school system is the issue. Because again, like you and I were talking before we started recording, there's the whole, it's just an ass and seats business. It's not really about education when it comes to public school at this point. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I tell people, like, put your kid in a more, put them in a school that caters to their strengths. So therefore, there's enough positivity going there that when they come and encounter the negative things or whatever, then they've got enough positivity going on to give them the energy to focus and try to figure out the negative stuff. If they're in something where everything is just, you know, they're not comprehending anything, then they're going to feel stupid. You know, they're going to start believing the bullshit that's being told to them. They're going to feel like they have special needs or ADHD and whatever else. That's so many, you know, misdiagnoses when it comes to ADHD, especially in lower income communities. So much, you know, because again, you're in communities where most of the people teaching don't look like the people that live in that community. So there's a lot that you don't understand culture wise, and you'll just dismiss as they're having a learning disability. So I get that. So rant done. Go back to you, Mike.
All right, so I think in a constantly distracted culture where you just can't focus on anything for minutes, the negative impacts alone on that are tremendous.
Right.
The side effect to negative impact is your memory. And like I said, if you're not paying attention to anything, why would you remember anything if you're not paying attention? But the same kid with this that we're talking about in the context of learning disabilities, the same kid that's having trouble with math class has 150 different songs memorized and knows all the lyrics, can just repeat it at will. And so clearly it's not a cognitive ability issue. I remember when I was a bad math student, or I had bad math teachers using this line of thinking. I remember I didn't do well in algebra. I didn't do well in geometry. I didn't do well in algebra two. And then I got to trigonometry and precalculus, which are considered way more difficult. And all of a sudden, I became a good math student. What was the difference? I had a really good teacher. She taught in a way that resonated with me, and it actually made a big difference. So
Yeah, I
that's
was
when I
just
realized,
talking.
yeah, I'm not even really that bad at math. I was just all this time, I just wasn't the teaching methods that these other teachers were using. And like you said, they have 30 different students in a class. You can't personalize it for every single person. So I don't even fault the teachers. But what happened is when I found someone that did teach to me in a style that resonated with me, all of a sudden I was able to focus and excel and do well at it. So I think now we need to focus. We actually have to focus on engaging in activities where we're just doing one thing. Now that's how low the bar has gotten.
Yeah,
Where instead,
we gotta throw out this theory of, multitasking. That's
yeah,
bullshit.
that's a
There's
different
no
example.
such fucking thing. There's no such thing.
Yeah,
Number one, multitask is
multitasking,
multi-distracting is what it really
you're
is.
just bouncing from one topic to the next. So for example, if I'm trying to write an article and go for a walk, I'm writing, I'm stopping, writing, then I'm walking, then I'm stopping, writing, right? You can't do two of those activities at the same time. Now, can I walk and chew gum at the same time? Sure, because one of them doesn't require any focus. It doesn't require me to be present. It's just automatic. I can drive and listen to music too. Everyone can. So there are certain things that don't require your complete focus. But the bar is so low now that if you go for a walk for an hour and you don't look at your phone once, the chances of you actually remembering going for that walk are now astronomically higher. While if you're just looking at your phone or an iPad, like this one guy in my neighborhood I always like to make fun of, I guarantee you that guy doesn't remember any walk he's gone on. He probably doesn't even remember anything that's around because he's never seen it. It's like, oh yeah, you see that one house over there with this? Oh no, you walk by it every day for a year and you still haven't seen it.
That guy amazes me. Like I said, the dude is walking around with a portable television in his hand. That's what the equivalent of that is. It's like, let me take a walk while watching TV. That's what that equivalent of that walk around that iPad. I'm
Yeah,
like,
are you
what?
you're gonna watch a UFC and read a book at the same time and check out music on your phone? So you have headphones on, so you can
Hey
check out
man.
music, and then you're gonna read a book, and then you're gonna have the UFC on, and you really think that you're gonna
And
absorb all three of those different things at the same time?
what's really happening is you're staring at the same sentence in that book over and over. You glance up, you glance up. Only time you glance up at UFC is when you hear everybody screaming. If Joe Rogan and all of them are jumping up, they're like, oh my God. You look up, but you don't know how that knockout happened. You're actually having to wait for them to do the replay to see the knockout because you missed it. But you never saw what led up to that because you were staring at that one sentence on that page. And at the same time, you're trying to make yourself a drink at the same time while you're holding all that. But there's people that do all this stuff just to prove, like, I can do all these things at once. It's like they have their own personal circus act going on. How many things can I do at one time without doing anything? Is what's really happening.
Well, you got couples. Anytime you go out to dinner, you see couples, and what are they doing? They're both on their phones the whole time. Are you going to remember this dinner? Definitely. I mean,
Well,
you're not even
let's
going to
be
remember.
honest.
You're not even going to remember that you were on your phone at that dinner because you're so
Look.
busy on your phone. You know, if you're always on your phone, why would you remember where you were at one moment while you're on your phone? You're living in that world.
Well, a lot of these couples, they're doing themselves a favor by being on the phone while they're together and they're out. It's a welcome distraction for a lot of them, the way their relationship is going. But a lot of times, the reason why the relationship is going that way is because there is no focus on each other, or they're not focused enough to realize we shouldn't be a couple. This really does not work at all.
Well, I
But
mean,
because.
anytime I'm having lunch with anyone, I'm not on my phone.
No.
One thing I like about doing my YouTube show is when I'm talking to someone, no one's on their phone because we see each other. So you can't,
Right.
you're just doing audio while the other person's talking. You could be dicking around on your phone. No one's going to know.
Right.
I talked to Dr. Gordon for 2 hours and we're doing it. It's a video call. So we see each other. He can see me, I can see him. And if I'm not paying attention, he's going to know. If I'm
Right.
distracted, sitting down doing something, and that's going to throw him off because he's going to be talking and going, "Hey, what's he doing? Is he even paying attention?" And vice versa. So we're able to have this really good conversation for 2 hours where you stay on point because no one's distracted. In fact, to the point where I was actually tired after that episode because there was so much information.
Because you're so focused.
And I sat in one position the entire time. So I know that's distracting too if I'm constantly moving around. So I stay in one position. And then for 2 hours, then we're talking. I mean, my body locked up so much by the time I got off the couch, I was like, man, I'm stiff as fuck
Yeah,
because.
man. See, and I'm good. Like while we're doing this show, so I'm usually standing up and sitting down constantly, while we're doing this. Yeah. Plus, it keeps my energy up. So therefore,
You need to do
another reason why we're not on the camera, because you'd be like,
that.
why does he keep standing up? What the hell is wrong with Sincere?
No,
Because I don't like sitting anywhere for too long. It drives me
I don't
crazy.
either. I don't ever, especially working at home. I'm getting up constantly. Anytime I'm usually getting up every hour or so, and I'll go outside with the dogs. I'll throw balls for them, let them run a little bit, get some sunshine, come back in, get up, make a cup of tea. I'm always moving around too. I can't
Hell,
just.
I'm fidgeting right now. I'm rocking back and forth because it helps me keep my energy up, while I'm doing the show. It keeps my blood going or whatever. So I don't like just being in that solitary, just immobile state where you're just kind of like this statue, So
And that's an important way to increase memory too. That's why interval training, cardio, even
I
long, all these things are important because it gets circulation, it gets blood to your brain as well, so that your brain works better. That's
Yeah,
why
one of the things. Oh, go
regularly
ahead.
have better focus. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, one of the things I was going to point out on this topic is another reason that, like I said, though, could really help you. First of all, is the fact that you're also decreasing when you sit there and you're trying to do all this different stuff, man. And the reason why this is messing with your memory is the fact that you're also removing a very essential thing that's part of memory, and that's to use your other senses. So let's just say, when you're on your phone and being passive and all you're doing is scrolling or whatever else, you don't remember anything because you become a robot. You become this machine. You're now programmed just to scroll, 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 and not take anything in. And
Right.
even information, because once you find a little bit of something, then the algorithm is screwing with you. And there's like YouTube, there's always a sidebar of other videos related to something, but they're related to what you're looking at, but they have just a little bit something extra that you might be interested in to add on to what you're looking at. So you don't get the full, even when you're watching the video, you constantly keep looking over to the right at those suggestions. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, I want to watch that one. I want to watch that one next. Watch that one next. Not knowing that before you start the video, you can clearly click on the right side of that right video on the right, and there's three dots. You hit that and you can make a watch list and just do it like do that. But what I'm getting at here, also, the problem is that's screwing with our memories, the fact that we leave out the senses, and the fact that before, reason why we could probably retain things so much better before we really got into this quote unquote smartphone age, we did other things. We wrote things down. So when you're writing things down, you're looking at yourself write it. You're taking notes, so you're listening. And you're touching a pen and paper. So you've already involved three different senses right there, which is basically hyper enforcing whatever it is, whatever information it is that you're comprehending at the same time. And so therefore, you have all these different little markers that'll help you retain that information. You'll remember pretty much, even without even thinking, you'll think about what was happening. If you're in the kitchen or wherever else, or the gym, and you're writing down your workout, you remember the sweat, the smell of the gym at that time when you were writing this down while you listened to the certain song. And these different things, who knows? Later on down the line, you'll hear that song later and it'll trigger that memory of that workout. Or
Right.
you smell that smell, it'll trigger that workout, and it'll trigger the memory of that song, and then trigger how you felt when you heard all that stuff, because you used more senses while you were doing all this. So, which means you were hyper focused because you were using pretty much almost everything that you had into that moment, and putting it all into that topic at that time. You weren't distracted by this. Your eyes weren't looking over here while you were digging in your butt over here. And you're sitting there trying to, and you're on the exercise bike and pedaling your feet and passively at the same time. Because guess what? It seems like you're doing a lot, but you're doing nothing because you won't remember any of that.
Yeah. Well, it makes maybe one or two things came up with that. One, my mother used to write stuff down all the time when she was watching something, such as a science show. Sometimes I would be watching some lecture on heart health or hormones, and she would sit next to me and watch. And then all of a sudden, she would whip out her pad and start writing stuff down,
Hey man,
taking
I still do that. I still take notes. I have yellow pads everywhere.
And then the other thing is, this is a random, this is applicable to what we're talking about, but it's just a random memory. And again, I was paying attention. That's why I remember that. I remember when I lived in Santa Monica on Montana Street, there was a lot of nice coffee shops around. It was a cool area to walk around. So I would go in the different places, hang out for a little bit, and there would always be people on laptops in there. Now, this is pre-smartphone. So if you wanted to, now people just take their smartphone and go there. But whenever I saw someone on a laptop at a coffee shop, I go, this guy's just fucking around. He's not getting anything done
You're
because
not important.
no one's going to be able to focus in that environment. There's people constantly coming in. It's loud. It's noisy in there. Coffee's being made. People coming in constantly, going out. There's cackling, different conversations happening. And I'm supposed to believe this guy's hyper-focused on whatever he's doing on his laptop? No. He's just in there trying to pretend he's working, just trying to meet women at some point. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna sit here and look like I'm cool, like I'm some
I'm over here starting this next startup, and
yeah, exactly. I'm putting together my business plan for this startup.
because that was the thing to do, back in the day at
Yeah, because
Starbucks.
when I write an article, I take my laptop, I go in my office, I shut the door, boom, 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 boom. Just crank it out. No TV in front of me, nothing. And that's how you get stuff done. I don't grab my laptop, get in the car, go drive somewhere. I could have written the article in the time it took to do all that.
Look, man, I'm too much of a curious person to go into a place like a busy coffee shop or whatever, thinking
I
I'm gonna
know.
do some work.
That's one thing.
I love people watching too much because
Oh,
people are fucking entertaining, man. And
yeah.
I am such a fan of psychology. So every time I go, it's like being in a lab when I go to places like that because I'm constantly looking at people and their behaviors, and I'm asking questions while I'm doing it. I'm like, okay, I wonder what's that person's story. I hear their conversations, I see how they respond to the people they're hanging out with. And
Right.
when a person says a certain thing, I look at that person's response to when the other person's talking and how they're taking that information. All these things, and I'm just curious. I'm looking, and then I have all these questions. I'm like, okay, clearly the person talking is not reading the room because the person they're talking to is kind of bothered by that statement. And this person's just still going off and just talking and not even looking like, okay, you need to move on to another topic, or you need to ask, like, hey, what's going on? Did I say something? I'm noticing all of this because, and that's the fun of it. And it
It's
really tells you a
funny
lot about
how
people.
poor people's situational awareness can be, especially people that are annoying and they think they're funny, but it's really just annoying. They and they're laughing at their own stupid, annoying behavior, and they can't read anyone around them, and everyone around is annoyed. But the difference between me and the people that are annoyed is if I find someone annoying, I'll let
I'm
that person
done.
know. Sometimes I'll let that person know by putting my hand on their throat and squeezing them on my couch. Yeah, don't sit there.
Hey, folks. Hey, true story. True story.
Guess what? That guy was never annoying again. Sometimes actions speak louder than words. In fact, the other people that saw me do that, who thought I overreacted, they were super annoyed by this guy later. And I was like, see, all you had to do is put your hand on his throat. You wouldn't have him being annoying anymore. Now they're complaining to me about him being annoying. I was like, yeah, I told you he was annoying. Now you understand why I did, but guess what? Not annoying around me anymore. Annoying around you because you guys don't do shit about it. You just take it. And that's why in his mind, he thinks he can keep doing it.
Well, if you guys are annoyed by him going forward, you now know the magic formula. Just try.
Well, one thing you learn from teaching so many courses is you can tell when people's focus falls off. Remember, I would be in front of the room and I'm explaining something, and I can just tell people are not getting it. So I go, all right, let me pull this back. Let me break it down a little bit further. And then all of a sudden you see people lighting up again. Because I got to tell you, when I look back at all the courses I taught, some of these were, it was never less than 6 hours. And it was, well, a lot of
Oh,
times it was 8 hours sometimes. Sometimes it was 8 hours, 2 days in a row. So, I mean, that's a lot of energy expenditure on my part, but it's a lot of energy expenditure on the student's part too. To,
it's
to
a lot of psychology,
yeah.
it's a lot
So,
of,
I mean, if
because
you can keep someone's attention for 8 hours, you're doing really well because it's not easy to do that.
or the majority, during that 8 hours. So if you can retain the attention of like 80% of the people, you're killing it, especially in a distracted world that we're in. Especially when people are coming to courses basically to see if you can address what's in their head. And if it's not just addressing what they're focused on, then they're kind of floating in la la land, at this point. So there's such a magic to public speaking that people don't truly understand. Or they do understand. That's why so many people are definitely afraid of doing it, because either you haven't mastered the art of Learning how to retain people's attention while doing that, or the fact is you're not comfortable with having all that attention on you. And especially if you don't really truly understand the information you're trying to spit out, you know, or you're not really prepared for someone to question the information you think that, you know, that everyone should know at this point. I'm like, okay. So even just people questioning that and you addressing the question, that's just basically you just got your co-star right now. They're only enhancing what you're doing by them, you know, having to ask questions. Unless you're an idiot and they're just trying to ask questions just to be a dick. Even that can still make things even better. It's like, okay, let me show you people how to deal with a dick when you're public speaking. So, no, let me show you how you can do with a fucking troll. You know, so comedians show you all the time how to do it. Mike Epps can teach you how to deal with that.
Well,
So,
one method I found that helped me avoid having dipshits at the courses, you just charge a lot.
price them out. Yeah. No, you could price out the idiots.
You charge a good amount. I mean, my courses were never cheap, but as I got better, I charged more. And I always had really high quality people at my courses. I can think
Yeah.
of maybe one or two people that it wasn't really anyone I disliked looking back on. There were one or two people that were kind of in the direction of dipshittery, you know, but not fully there.
And usually in that
That's out of
situation,
hundreds of courses, you know.
yeah, and when it's to that point where you have maybe one or two, that's not even that right there is you priced it so well that now you've got the people who feel entitled. You know, they got the money, and they feel like they start kind of thinking like, well, I paid this, now address me only. And you gotta shut that shit down. But that's rare. Again, this is a good lesson in trying to be all things to everybody and trying to get as many people as possible to your product. You know, because well, when you do that, you're gonna invite just about anyone into that. And it's not always the best thing. And at the same time, you want to think about, you think like, okay, I'm gonna get as many people to buy this or buy into me as possible, and I can make this much. Well, okay, at what price? Whereas how about really honing and fine-tuning the information that you have, really putting in the work to be the expert in that field, and then charging a premium price. You're gonna get a premium amount of customers. So you might have 10 people who really will go into the premium product. But again, they're not going to be on your ass. They're not going to be worrying you. They're going to ask 50 million dumbass questions. You know, whatever. They're really there to get the information and do better. And they're out there going out there and giving, you know, they're letting everybody know, like, hey, this motherfucker right here. They're not just going out on a Yelp or something like that to leave a review to the masses. No, they're going to refer you to high quality people, you know, so because most likely they're a high quality person as well. So now, they're not just going to re recommend anyone to their friends who they pretty much hold in high regard. So they're going to be like, hey, I know this dude, Mike Mahler, dude, you know, he could really help you with that issue, you know, and, you know, or at least point you in the right direction dealing with that hormonally, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, just one or two of the things I picked up in his courses over the years has helped me tremendously. And I got the test results to show it. Oh, okay, cool. You know, give him my information. And then boom, there you go. And now you got a high quality ass person is reaching out to you, and they're not coming there to bullshit around because, and they're not sitting there questioning you 50 million things because they got a reference from a good or a quality person that they trust at this point. And this is what you started to notice as you kind of move up in business, or if you move up in your income or whatever else. Like I said, the cream rises to the top. There's a lot that goes behind that statement, and you really start weeding out everybody. So I always just tell people, man, if you really want to be successful, man, take a look at your circle of people and what are they doing? How, you know, what's their attitude like? What is their look on life? What is just even just like, are they givers or are they always takers? All they do is take, 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 and you're trying to be someone that gives, man, and you're in the wrong circle because they're going to drain you. Whether it's going to be financially or just mentally, because they're constantly asking, hey man, let me pick your brain. Someone says that first run because anyone that pretty much is of quality is not going to say, I want to pick your brain. They're going to come to you.
I always hated that saying.
Yeah, pick these nuts is what you can do. So trust me, a person of quality, man, they're going to, before they even step to you, they're going to pretty much have something to bring to the table with them before they start asking for something. You know, because they understand that this is all energy and it's an exchange. So, and a lot of people don't understand that. So, But when your memory's bad, you can't remember.
I do these hormone consult analysis. It's not something I advertise on my website or promote actively. People usually reach out to me and ask me if I do it. And if it looks interesting to me, I'll say yes. And I charge a premium. I charge a fee that I figure is worth my time to do. And I make sure, and then I always provide a lot of value with that. So
I
I
was
mean,
about
I
to
could
say, then
charge.
you over-deliver. Yeah.
It's always been my philosophy to over-deliver. I could charge way more than I do, but I want it to be in the realm of affordability for people that have serious issues that they want dealt with. But anyway, what I like about this is this system of people actually reach out to me and ask me if I do this. And then once I do it for them, there's basically 100% of people apply the advice that I asked them, that I recommended. And I'll always feel, I hear back from pretty much everyone I've worked with within weeks, month, telling me how much better they feel from applying
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I like about this too is the fact that someone has to take the initiative and reach out to me, even though it's not there's nothing on my website to even imply that that's something I offer. They're like, hey, I was just curious if you offer this kind of thing.
Right.
Because one thing about when you have a website with a lot of high content free information, it establishes a lot of value. While you and I are talking here, people are reading articles and checking out stuff. They're going, hey, this information is really good. Now, I wonder if I can reach out to this guy and get personalized advice for what I'm dealing with, because I've already established the value of the knowledge base is at a high level. So that's already there. So the
Yeah.
people you deal with are super high quality, motivated people. They're fun to deal with, and they're very gratifying to deal with because they're actually going to apply the information.
Exactly. Excuse me. So, yeah,
I don't
man.
want to just do cookie cutter analysis at a fourth of the cost where you get more people coming through the pipeline, but no one's doing anything with it.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's draining. It's very uninspiring. It just makes you like, okay, I'm tired of this topic now.
Right.
And we've been there, and we've left those fields before. We
Well,
just feel like,
that's the
oh,
other reason why.
when you get to the point where you're pretty much hearing the same questions every time, even though you've given that answer a million times, and they have access to that answer, and it just becomes a circle. It becomes this thing that's on a loop over and over. Then you got a question like, okay, has this thing gone as far as it's going to go at this point? You know, and then you got to know when to just like fold and just like, all right, cool. Well, it's time to move on to something else, you know, or let somebody new step in and do this because this information will be new for them and it'll be a perspective that's new coming from them.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great
And
way to
so,
put it.
not be greedy and try to be a gatekeeper. It's like, hey, I'm handing you the baton, bro. Good luck. Tear that shit up. I've done all I can do in this now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the other reason why I don't actively promote the hormone lab work analysis is I don't want to get burned out with it. I don't want this to be something where every day I'm dealing with this. I like to work with one person. I take my time. I review their blood work. I take a bunch of notes. I come back the next day. I analyze the notes I took. I look at it again. And then I
Yeah.
start putting together, here's what's going on with you. Here's what I recommend. Here's the action steps to take. And then get that back to them. So I'm spending a lot of time with each person. And just about everyone has said that no doctor they've gone to has been this thorough. And they can't.
Yeah.
You're going to some general practitioner, they're going to spend 2 minutes looking at it.
Yeah.
A lot of the advice is that they're not well versed in nutrition as well as supplements. So they're not going to have any advice on that front, except the obvious stuff, such as you have a vitamin C deficiency, take this.
Right. Or
So
their
you can be more
favorite is
nuanced.
a, yeah, or their favorite is you need to get on a diet and exercise program. Yeah,
Well,
no shit, Sherlock.
that's the other reason, going back to why people's memory is so poor, is that there's too much, people are exposed to too much information and too
Bad
much
information.
contrarian information too. So 1 minute you're
Yeah.
watching a clip on, okay, here's how the vegan diet's great for longevity. And then you're watching another clip going, nope, vegan diet's garbage. Carnivore diet is what you want to be on. And then you're watching another one like, nope, you don't want to be on the carnivore diet. You want to be on the paleo diet. That's the best way to go. And it just goes on and on and on. Now, if for people like us that are well versed in these fields, we don't get pulled in a million different directions because, I mean, I already know what works for me at this point. So I'm not looking for more, not to say that I'm not open to more information, but I'm not going to revamp my nutrition plan because it's already fine-tuned. I already know what works.
And we know that all those things doesn't necessarily pertain to us or the people that are asking. It's just like, well, you got to dig deeper. It's just like, okay, what's going on with you? Instead of, because you might do that and it might fuck you up even more. Whatever these different things, like these people don't know you. They don't know you. Just like everybody's like, oh, kettlebells is the only way to go to do this. We don't know that. I need to know more about this person. So, but most people don't have the time for that. Or, like I said, they're trying to sell something and, sell it, get it, and get out for most folks. So if it has to be a little bit more personalized, people got to ask more questions. You just can't just assume, just like even people ask me like investing thing, like, oh, should I get in this? I don't know what your finances look like. I don't know. I'm not a financial advisor, but all I can do is hypotheticals, and I need more information even just to give a hypothetical, opinion of what you're talking about. I don't know, man. What's your risk tolerance? So like, oh, should I be investing in this or should I just, put it in the savings account? I don't know. I don't know your situation, bro. I don't know what your personal relationship looks like. I don't know what your, there's so many things to factor in there and everybody's different. And I don't know how you were raised to look at money because I mean, shit, all I can do is just share my experience and go from there. But it's my experience. That's what you got to understand. It's not yours. Even if they look similar, it's still not your experience. So.
Well, I mean, there's also something to be said with people of taking in information and then sitting with that information for a while. One example is you read a book on something and then you finish it and you go right into the next book without thinking about it.
No, you gotta
It's
let
like,
it marinate, man.
take a little bit of time. Yeah, you just finish that book. Once you think about it, write down some things you got out of it. Think about it for a little bit. I'm not talking about leisure reading. The leisure reading is different. You just do that for relaxation. You're reading some sci-fi or you're reading fiction. No, that's fine. Go right into the next one. But when you're reading something that's information intensive, it's sometimes I go back and read the entire book all over again.
Oh, I
And
was
I've
just about
done
to say that.
that.
Sometimes you got and you'll sit there and you'll read, and then who knows, 5, 10 years down the line, you read the book again. You see from I see that with movies. There's movies now that I've seen a million times, but I get a different perspective because I've had different experiences in between the last time that I saw it now. So,
Well,
and I'm seeing things.
you look at things differently as you age.
Right.
First time I saw Heat, I'm way younger than all the characters in the movie, right? So
Right.
I'm a junior or senior in college when I'm watching that movie. So I'm 21, 22, and then obviously I'm going to have a much different perspective then than I do now. But then you get to the point where you're the same age as the people in the movie. Now then you get to the point where you're way older than the people in the movie.
Exactly. And
That's
well,
a weird.
then you get to the point where some of your favorite characters in that movie are dead now. And you start thinking about that, like, damn, Tom Sizemore and what you call it? Oh man, oh my God, I forgot his damn name. The damn comedian. Bad guy. Ricky Harris, like they're
Yeah,
gone now.
Ricky Harris.
You start thinking like they're dead. Then you look at the age you are right now. So it makes you think about other things. I'm like, okay, and compared to when you first watched the movie, and then you look at again because of your memory, because you actually were paying attention during that time. You think about how you were living the your lifetime, your lifestyle at the time you saw Heat the first time, and you're
That
thinking
makes me
like. Like, there's no way I could eat and drink and do the shit I was doing when I first saw Heat doing that now. And it's not sustainable. Okay. So.
I remember I was smoking weed with these guys at Lewis and Clark College. We were just having a good time. And then, like, an episode of MASH came on. And even then, I used to watch MASH a lot with my mom. So, anyway, we're watching this episode, and I'm saying the lines before the characters do. And one guy's like, man, you got to stop watching this show. He's like, this show way too well. One time we're all watching Aliens, a different group, and I think the question was, you know how long you've been in cryospace? And then this guy turns to me, he's like, how long? So before she said it, I go, 57 years. And then she goes, 57 years. She goes, crack it up. And I go, yeah, because I have a good memory, motherfuckers. That's the difference between me
Oh,
and you guys.
man.
I actually
I experienced that yesterday, so I was on YouTube, and then for some
remember.
reason, there's a channel I would watch. It's called the Norman Lear Effect, and so basically, it's like all the shows that Norman Lear produced during the 70s or whatever. And so they're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Good Times, and so they were just showing like all these greatest hits from Good Times. And I don't know, I just ended up watching it for about a good 30 minutes yesterday. It's like every clip It's like I was knowing it word for word. I actually
Yeah.
remember exactly what I was doing and where I was as a child when I watched that episode. And I'm saying it right before, even just like the episode, like when the dad, mysteriously died trying to get a job in Alaska, and even just thinking about the whole background of like why that happened, why, John Amos, didn't come back that season because, just the issues him and Norman Lear had with the pay, and that's the reason why he didn't come back. Just because about the fairness that the actors were getting paid, because him, Esther Rowe, who played the mom, who was
Yeah.
like a revered Broadway actress, she
Right.
was like a true actress,
Yeah.
and it just pretty much like how they weren't getting paid what they were, what they deserved at that time, especially because there was a lot of things that factored in as far as race and all that during the time and whatever. And he didn't, he just said, fuck it, I'm not coming back. And so they just wrote the father off that he died in a accident, a trucking accident, whatever, when he was trying to get a job in Alaska or something like that. It was the storyline was so shitty, like how they wrote him off. So anyway, just watching that episode from the after the funeral, as soon as that clip came on, I knew exactly. I said, oh, this is after James's funeral. And I said, this is where you're gonna get the famous line that anybody ever watched Good Times, they know this line. Is when, the mom was trying to act, she was just trying to get through it, staying strong. And then the kids are trying to help her clean up the dishes after everybody came over, because hey, in Black culture, that's what you do after a funeral. Everybody gets together, they eat, and they just, celebrate the person that passed away. So she's cleaning up all the food away, and the kids trying to help. She's like, no, she's trying to stay busy, and she didn't want anybody to help her. And then when the kids try to come out and help again, she kind of snapped on them. And then just when she's picking up the punch bowl, it's like everybody knows what happens next. She just slams it down on the ground, and she just screams, damn, damn, damn. Everybody knows that episode. And to the point where Outkast made a damn song with that being in the chorus. The Spotty Ody Dopalicious from Outkast, that's the fucking chorus. Damn, 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 James.
That's funny.
So that's how famous it is, So as soon as I saw her pick, I was just waiting for her to pick up the punch bowl. I'm like, all right, she's putting a skillet on top of the fridge, which as a kid, I never understood. Why is she putting that skillet on top of the fridge? That's so weird. So she's picking it up. And then when she went for that punch bowl, I'm like, here it goes. And 3, 2, 1, smash. And I was, and even yesterday while watching, I said it with her. Damn, damn, damn. So it's just crazy, man, how these things stick in your mind. When you just focus, like you just remember all these little things. You remember where you were, what you were doing, and it just comes back to you like that. But yeah, it got to the point where I was quoting almost everything while I was watching each one of those little clips. It was just so crazy when you think about that. But at the same
Well,
time, it's
at least with
very.
that, though, they actually wrote his character off. I remember a lot of shows from that era.
Oh, it just
Characters,
disappeared. It's like,
oh
wait,
yeah, they would just be
it just...
gone, no explanation.
Oh, hey, there was one episode of Family Matters where the youngest daughter went upstairs and she never came back down. One episode she went upstairs, and the name of the actress is Jamie Foxworth. I don't know what happened. She eventually went on to do porn, by the way. But it's just funny. She went upstairs one day and never came back. She never came. Judy. That was her name, her character's name on Family Matters. Judy never came back downstairs, man, for like 6 seasons later. Like, Judy's still upstairs. So is this like the Black version of Flowers in the Attic? Did they lock her up? I mean, what happened to Judy Winslow, man?
Yeah,
Is like hilarious. Yeah, that's a very soap opera thing to do. Just at least with soap operas, if someone dies, they're not dead. You can guarantee it's like if they ever renegotiate their contract or get over whatever beef they have, they'll find a way for them to come back from the dead. At least they'll give you that much. But these other TV shows, like he just left and never saw him again.
I mean, shows find clever ways to do that too. Like 24, one of my favorite shows, they killed off Tony Almeida in at least what we thought was killed off. This really emotional moment. He dies in Jack's arms. Then the clock goes silent. We're like, oh man, they killed off Tony Almeida. And then I remember seeing the trailer for season seven and he's in it. And I go, wait a
Did he
minute.
have a twin brother? First thing I thought was like, damn, Tony had a twin.
I go, how are they going to possibly write? And then, you know what? They actually did a
Well,
really good
no,
job of explaining
I'm a
how
kid
they
that
came
grew up watching
back.
soap operas with my grandmother. I already knew. I was like, okay, well, I said they pulling the soap opera effect with Tony. I was like, then I kind of got a little pissed. I'm like, don't start taking soap opera formulas, man, for a show like this. Don't do that.
Yeah, they actually explained it well for how he's still alive. And then I mean, that People are like, oh, don't spoil it for me. Like, look, the show's been over for 10 years.
I'm like, come
Okay.
on.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it, then too bad on you. All right. Maybe this will motivate you to go watch it. You know, the season we're talking about was 2005 or something. So it's been almost
Exactly. But
10 years. 2005,
like
2006, right?
this, it's to the point now where everything that happened in 24, 20 years ago is now happening in real life. So that goes to show you that, I mean, that goes to show you need to go ahead and watch the show now. You're okay. Come on, the only spoiler alert is your everyday life right now. The threat of an EMP. Well, guess what? Before that was great fiction on 24. Now it's a reality. So.
No one's ever really dead in any show if they think they can make money by bringing the person back.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that's what they did with 24. I actually thought they did a good job with how they justified him being alive still. But for example, a show that's extremely poorly written, the Fast and Furious movies, no
Oh
one
my
ever died
God.
in that fucking series. Every
Unless you even when you die in real
someone is
life,
coming
they
back.
even if you die in real life, they find a way to bring you back and leave it
Yeah.
open.
You could be in a car that everyone saw explode, right? And then all of a sudden, 2 movies later, you're resurrected somehow.
As a matter of fact, this so-called next and final Fast and Furious is like, well, if you saw the last one, how the fuck is that even possible? It's like, how's that even gonna happen? Well, hold my beer. I'll show you how. Even just like I said, even when a character dies in real life, Paul Walker died in real life, they still found a way to bring him alive and leave it open. And leave it open as if he can come back again. It's like, what the fuck, man? He just rides off, the CGI rides off into the sunset.
Well, movies is another area where I noticed that. I bet 90% of moviegoers don't even remember. If you ask them what movie they saw last week, they wouldn't even be able to tell you because they're not paying attention. It's not just
Right.
because it's not just because a lot of movies are terrible. Yeah, that's a given too. But even good movies, go to the movies all the time. People are not paying attention to the theater. People are constantly getting up, going out. It's like, what do you need to get up every 30 minutes?
Let me tell you, dude, one of the things pissing me off, like I do my best to like I don't drink any water or anything during a movie because I don't want to get up and use the bathroom. I do my best to take care of all that before a movie starts because I don't want to get up and miss a damn thing because I feel like every little thing is pertinent to the plot. It'll piss me off if I missed out on that. But I see people constantly getting up and going and drinks, and I'm like, you know that you can actually open since you already have your phone out, you know you can order whatever and they'll bring it in there to you now. No matter what, AMC, all of them have that now where they can just bring it to you. It's like just move off to the side where your screen's not bothering everybody, right there on the little ramp, and do your little ordering. You can still watch the movie and at least hear the movie because you can't watch it while you're trying to do this order. But why didn't you take care of that all before you got in? Are you really that hungry that all of a sudden, like, man, 20 minutes of the movie, man, I'm sure hungry. I sure want a hot dog right now. You trying to tell me you weren't hungry for that trash 20 minutes ago? Really?
And most of
But
these people should have just stayed at home and been more concerned about temporary layoffs, good times. Get rid of that's the
okay,
lyric.
I totally was expecting
That's the
that.
lyric of that song that always sticks out to me, the temporary layoffs. Remember, I was a kid, I didn't even know what that meant. I was like,
Temporary
temporary.
layoffs, easy credit
Is
ripoffs.
that something? Yeah, is that something that
Oh.
happened in inner
And the
city
next
life?
one, because you couldn't really tell what they were saying. It was like, in a wild line. What? And then you grow up and you're like, somebody standing in a chow line. And you're like, wait a minute, a chow line? Was this the Great Depression? What the fuck? How bad was it? How bad was it in the projects in Chicago? Ain't we lucky we got them? Good times. No, I like the Jefferson's theme. Moving on up.
Well, sometimes speaking of the Jefferson theme, sometimes when people are just saying nonsense, I'll just throw in something that has nothing to do with the
Fish
conversation.
don't fry in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's like, well, look, at least fish doesn't fry in the kitchen and beans don't cook on
Don't
the grill. So at least we know
fry.
that. People, and then just walk away. Well, at least you learned something today. Yeah, beans
Let
don't
me
cook
tell you.
on the grill. That's
Hey,
true. You
man,
try
look.
cooking beans on the grill, it doesn't work.
Young man, let me tell you. I want you to always remember this. Look me in my eye when I say this. Takes a lot of levi-ing just to get up that hill. Levi-ing, living, boy, living. God damn it. Don't have to spell it off for you. Too much. Hey, man, sincere, where you been? Well, now I'm up in the big leagues. Took my turns. Heads up.
It's actually, these pattern breaks are fun to do in situations where, let's say, you're dealing with a rude customer or you're dealing with a rude customer service person, and you just put in these, just have these random comments. I was like, look, well, when's the room going to be ready? I don't know. It's like, well, look, something we both know is that fish don't fry in the kitchen,
And
meats don't
beans
cook
don't
in
burn
the
on the
fire.
grill.
So if we know that, then you should know when my fucking room's going to be ready. You know?
And when you can tell me why beans are on a grill in the first place, then we'll
Yeah.
be better off.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Why beans don't burn on the grill? That's because they shouldn't be on a grill. What
They're not going to stay on the grill either.
the? Exactly.
That's the real problem. That's why I wouldn't think of even trying to cook them on
I'm like, okay, man. Growing up, we've had some struggling situations, but damn, that's some serious struggle
the
right there. Oh shit, man! They cooked beans on a grill. Good Lord, good times, my ass. Those are like bad times. Oh man.
People are not even going to remember why they got into a car accident because they were on their phone.
Right.
That's why you hit that car in front of you. You didn't realize that you hit a car in front of you because you were too busy on your phone.
Exactly.
So
Because you got
that's
your.
what I think is
Go
it's
ahead.
become tragic where you don't even enjoy real world experiences because you're distracted. And so you're
Well,
not going
because
to
you're not in the
remember.
real world anymore.
Yeah, you're not going to
Everybody's
remember
in an
that.
imaginary world. That's why they're distracted. Because they don't want to deal with real world experiences because in their mind, the real world sucks for them. So
Well,
that's
listen,
why
when
they're
I
so.
walk with dogs in Seven Hills, nice neighborhood, and all that, there's nothing that on my phone that's more interesting than what I'm seeing just walking around because it's really scenic. The sun is setting, the sky looks incredible. You know, nothing on my phone is more incredible than that, what I'm seeing. I remember one time I was in South Africa walking on the beach. I was like, man, this is incredible. This beach is amazing. And then I look around and people are just on their phones the whole time. I go, what could possibly be more interesting than this, where we are right now and what we're looking at?
But then people take things for granted. They're just like, oh, yeah, the sun's out today. It didn't
They
rain. Cool.
did. The phone is made to be addictive same way that slot machines are by design.
Well,
It's
because of the.
Instagram, you get a dopamine. You don't just get a dopamine hit when someone likes something you posted. You get a dopamine hit when you like someone else's. So if you're just
Or
scrolling,
if you don't like it, you get a dopamine hit for just stuff you hate. You're like, what the fuck did he post today? Oh, look what they're saying about this guy. So that's another dopamine hit. Just to focus on things you don't care about and you don't like. But obviously you do because you focus on it. But at the end of the day, every business behind all these things that are distracting you is just that. It's a business and they get paid for your distraction. And they
oh yeah.
know, and that algorithm and AI, pretty much knows what distracts you the most because you've taught it that. That's the only thing about AI. You teach it the way you want. It's just like people. You train people how to treat you. So if someone says something out of pocket about you or whatever else, and you do nothing about it, you train that person to know that they can get away with that, and they're going to keep building on that. So the true AI is actually people. That's where we first learned about AI, because that's where the large learning model first came from. Just the people in our immediate circle and how you treat them, whether it's at work, in relationships, or whatever else. You train people how to respond to you and treat you. Now we just put that now we don't talk to people anymore, and now we do it with our phones. And now they got AI that's coming out to be your friend, quote unquote. So you're gonna treat it how to talk to you. Well, now you finally get something to tell you all the shit you want to hear and make you feel good. But eventually, it's not. You're not gonna feel good eventually. So again, when you zoom out, it's not gonna work in your favor the way you think it is by having a yes computer, because it doesn't work out in your favor to have yes men around you. Because they're shielding you from the truth. And again, like I said, the truth will set you free. You keep living that lie, it'll catch up with you. You'll be like, why did this happen to me? Everybody's favorite question. No, motherfucker, it happened for you. You needed this. It's a reality check. Now you got to focus and pay attention. So.
Yeah, the best conversations are when someone can give you a different point of view. So you're talking about something, you're like, oh, I think here's why I think this is going on. And then someone else says, well, here's how I look at it. And then you don't
Right.
necessarily drop your point of view and just absorb the other person's 100%, but it gives you you go, you know what? He's
A
making some
different
good.
perspective.
Yeah, he's making some good points there. There is something there with what that person just said, rather than it's just this mutual admiration society where everyone's just agreeing.
Right. Or, you just got to be the contrarian. Well, no, that's not true. That's not
Yeah,
true. Like
exactly.
neither one is true for everyone else. It's true to that person. And my thing is, I'm curious now about this person's background so I can truly understand why they're coming with this perspective. And then it helps me just to further understand the person. It's like you said, it's not there to change my mind, but it's there, definitely there to open my mind and expand my way of thinking. And I can appreciate that.
I think whenever someone talks in absolutes, that's where you want to be skeptical. Because there are very few absolutes,
No,
and there's
the only absolute is there are no absolutes.
yeah.
There it is. Just like the only constant in change is change. That's the only
I
constant.
think that's what frustrates a lot of people is when they see something working for someone else, they automatically think they're going to get the same results. And sometimes you will. Sometimes you'll get better results even. Sometimes you won't get anything from it, even though it worked well for someone else. Or sometimes it'll just be a fraction of what someone else got.
And again, a lot of
So
times
many
people
times.
look, a lot of people are looking at the diamonds, but they didn't dare step into the coal mine to understand how the diamond got here. They didn't do the dirt
I mean,
that was
with training,
necessary.
I remember I knew people that got really good results off high volume, 10 sets of five, just really high volume. I never did well with high volume. I always.
Like German volume training. There's some
Yeah,
people
well,
that's some dope.
that's an extreme. I don't know too many people who got great results with that. Most people couldn't sustain it. I mean, that's a really
10
difficult
sets of
program.
10, 10 sets of 10. Like, damn.
Yeah. I always found three sets of five and then go for seven on the last set. When you can do seven on the last set, move up and wait.
Move, yeah.
Instead of just three sets of five with the same weight, then move up. No, do three sets, two sets of five, and then on the last set, see if you can get seven. And if you can get seven, then move up. And look, this
Yeah.
is just one simple example. I'm not saying this is what I do all the time. I'm just saying this is an example of what works well for me. But I always found a higher intensity, a lower volume is always what worked well for me. Now, one set to failure also didn't work to me. That wasn't enough volume. It was a little bit too
Yeah.
much. It was a little bit too much to just do your warm-up sets and then go all out. And then it would get to the point where your brain would become drained just knowing that you had to do that. Like,
Right. It's
I
kind
got
of
to go,
like we were
I got to do this.
like we were talking about kettlebell sport before we started recording. It's just, eventually when you're going up in weight and just thinking about that 10-minute set, your body's like, fuck. It's like, why does this dude keep getting stronger? Like, we can stop here at 24 kilo. Like, nah, gotta move up. Gotta go to 28 now. I gotta go to 32. And 32 just seemed like it was, and then it just like I said, just mentally it was just mess with you, man, because it felt like such a death sentence. And anyone listening to this, I'm like, nah, man, it's great. Fuck you. Can you sustain that for the next 5, 10 years, though? Just the type of training. Your body's gonna be like, dude, it's time to move on. Enough.
Well,
Enough of the
that's why some kind of periodization always made sense. Even if it's
Yep.
something as simple as 3 weeks pretty intense, 1 week you pull it back and you just
Yeah.
do that. Even if you just did that, that's a very simple integration.
That was like the
And it
formula, like my
works
fit camps. We do
really
three
well.
weeks on, then I have an off week. And then the off week is kind of like a play week. We do more just like, hey, we do bear crawls up a hill, do some sprints,
Well, it takes the pressure off too, because in that third week you're pushing it hard. You know that you get
what's
the point.
coming next week? Yeah, you're like, hey, I get to dial it back a little bit.
And it also it encourages you to push harder that week, knowing that you're going to get a back off
Exactly.
the following week. While if
Yep.
it's just every week after week you're trying to do better into perpetuity, eventually that's just going to crumble. It's just too much.
Yeah. And then it got to the point where I would even change it up then, where we would do 3 weeks of training, and then we have off week where nobody would come to class. But you had your own assignments. You had like a baseline of things you can do. Here's a list of things you can do in your off week. Go swimming, make sure you go to the sauna, do yoga, do hot yoga, do all these other things as part of recovery. But at the same time, you're still being active. Definitely, you're gonna walk at least 1 hour a day, or things like that. And everybody appreciated that. Then when they came back that following week, we killed it, So, and that's why people stayed on for years, until I pretty much shut it down. Because, gave them sustainability. So it wasn't
I
like
did that. I did
they're.
that with my online training consults, contact our customers. We would do 3 weeks pretty intense, pull it back for a week. Sometimes it would be longer. Sometimes people would go intense for 6 or 7 weeks, then we pull back for 2 weeks. It just depended on the person. Some people are just addicted to the stimulus, so they don't want to pull back on intensity for more
I
than a week.
know.
After a week, they're raring to go again. Other people, they need more than that. So it just
Yeah.
depends. I'm always really focused when it comes to training. So that's why I would never get, like, some people are addicted to working out. I don't get addicted to working out because if I'm not making progress, I go, what am I doing? So that's boring.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not just training for the sake of training or training for the stimulus. I mean, you get that too, and I enjoy that aspect as well, but I like to make progress. So if I'm not making progress, if I can make more progress with two training sessions a week than four, then why would I do four? You know, four is only
Right.
better if I'm getting better results.
Yeah, exactly. And trust me, I'm not going to feel guilty if I'm only training 2 days instead of four. Like, oh, you're not doing enough. I mean, that's just
Well,
being
the
lazy.
key also is you got to delineate between training and activity. I have activity every day, 7 days a
Oh,
week.
yeah.
2 hour walks with the dogs, I'm active. Skateboarding when the weather's nice. So there's a, I like being active, and that's something you can do every single day. So even if I, like you said, with your people, they pull back from the training, you're still doing other stuff. You're still
Yeah.
doing play week. You're doing other physical activities that you enjoy. So I think it's important to be physically active every day. That doesn't mean going to the gym every day, though. Necessarily.
Yeah.
I also think it's important to get your head out of your ass every once in a while.
Every now and then, at least every now and then. I mean,
I mean, some people have
it can really lead to a very dark place if you stay there all the time. I mean,
problem with some people is they pull their head out of their own ass, but now they're putting it in someone else's ass. So you're
yeah.
not getting much of a breather.
A lot of ass-to-ass contact going on.
That's why a lot, you notice a lot of these bald guys in the corporate world where they have hair on the sides but not the top of the head. Why do you
Well,
think that? Because their
when
head
you
is.
hey, when you live at when you live life ass first, I mean head first into asses, I mean, what do you expect?
How are you supposed to keep all that hair on the top of your head when it's constantly in your neck? You know, whether it's your own or someone else's. I mean, come on now. You're asking too much. I don't care how much saw palmetto you take to block conversion of testosterone to DHT. You know, I don't care what you do to normalize your DHT levels. You keep doing that, your hair follicles can't stay in place. You know? And that's something to improve everyone's memory. You can remember that one.
Exactly. And that's where we're going to stop.
Yeah.
So you can let that one marinate for a little bit. Marinate on keeping your head out of everybody's ass, including your own.
Okay, let's see. Temporary layoffs, beans don't cook on the grill, and if I want to keep the hair on the top of my head, got to make sure my it's not up my own ass or anyone else's for too long. All right,
Got it. I wrote it down, guys. I even wrote it down.
got it. Yeah. Prince Bell is taking notes right now as we're talking.
Oh man, shouts out to Prince, man. So cool, folks. All right, let that marinate. And yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Everyone.
That wraps up this week's Live Life Aggressively show. Be sure to head over to MikeMahler.com and NewWarriorTraining.com. Use the coupon code LLA12 and receive 12% off of your total purchase at either of those websites. Also, for more personal protection tips, make sure you head over to NewWarriorDefense.com. Support the production of the Live Life Aggressively show by heading over to Patreon.com and becoming a patron. Simply go to Patreon.com/LLA podcast. All Patreon subscribers receive Patreon-only access to our brand new show, Afterlife, which is a brand new behind-the-scenes episode that is not available to the public. Our Patreon subscribers also get to enjoy bigger discounts on all of our products by receiving patron-only discount codes beginning at 15% off on all products on MikeMahler.com and NewWarriorTraining.com. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Lastly, be sure to share the episode by following us on social media on Facebook as well as our new account on Instagram. Until the next episode, take care, everybody.